I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I said, it's been a long journey, man. It's been a hard road, you know, and not just the 30 days, but even before that, you know, and I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the way he came out and played, you know, and proud of the way Tyler played last week. Both those two guys played well. I think T. Martin deserves a lot of credit. You know, he did a great job with those guys and Monk and the offensive coaches. I thought what we've done with the offense the last 2 weeks has been really, really, really good. Really, really excellent.
You know, T. Martin is a name that doesn't come up a whole lot, Jeremy, but I will agree with him on that. He has to do a
magnificent job. It does when you say you can't spell Tennessee without, spell citrus without a U and a T, because that's what everybody likes to bring up since T. Martin won the national championship and Peyton Manning didn't.
That's right.
But I think he's been an excellent addition here. I mean, look, I know Harbaugh just praised everybody on the team and all the coaching staff.
And their families.
There. Yes. They won. But, like, T. Martin definitely deserves some credit for, you know, this turnaround and what we've seen from this this group, especially on offense.
Yeah, I mean, these quarterbacks, I mean, you got a backup quarterback going in there ready to play. And I know you can say, you know, the backup quarterback prior to that wasn't ready to play.
Yeah. What happened to Cooper Rush?
I don't know.
He got paid to sit down.
Yeah.
Hey, throwing out all of those compliments. Yeah. Hey, this guy was great. This guy was great. John, Cooper Rush, what happened?
Ravens scored 7 in each of the first two quarters, and they came out strong in the third. Harbaugh talked about how well they played in the second half.
And that was probably the key play of the whole game, probably. You know, because if not, you're back and you're kind of in that second quarter mode still, and that's what Lamar can do, and that's what he did. Lamar had a great game. I mean, 4 touchdown passes.
Yeah, that was the big first down that Lamar got for the Baltimore Ravens, Jeremy Conner. Again, getting it done with his arm, but on one play, he got it done with his legs.
Yeah, look, this is it's just good to see him back. You know, no matter who you're facing, you have an opportunity to win a game when you have him in there. And, again, just sit here and bitch about the backup. Cooper Rush looked awful here, just awful. But we all know if something happens to Lamar, it doesn't matter who you got behind him.
I heard with a 70-something and fewer than 20 or 21 losses or whatever, but they're 5-11 without Lamar. I mean, they're like almost 50 games over 500 with Lamar.
You want to win, put Booby in.
Yeah. He had 4 touchdown passes last night, 3 to tight ends. Harbaugh talked about the play of his tight ends.
Around and go. Yeah, I think that's a great point, Jonas. I mean, to see those guys come alive, and he knew they were there, just a matter of getting them the ball. And we were able to get them the ball and play action a number of times behind the linebackers, which was big for us. All 3 of those guys, you know, and Charlie at the end, and then Isaiah had the big third down conversion. So, you know, that we want to be able to spread it around and go to everybody, and, you know, I think that's where we want to be.
Yeah, and tight ends did well last night, played well. Lamar Jackson coming in, and I guess the secondary doing well on the perimeters. He worked the middle of the field.
He sure did. Look, they've got outstanding tight ends. I can't think of a better tight end room in the NFL, honestly. And of course, you know, they came through. You had, you know, Andrews has 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, the Browns have a good one.
Yeah.
Joku and this kid Fannin now. Yeah. But yeah, you're like, those are 2 guys that could, I mean, easily be number 1 tight ends for any team that you have on your team, and Mark Andrews.
I mean, likely at 60 yards. You know, Andrews only had, you know, 22, but both of those were, you know, no touchdowns, so he has 2 catches for 2 TDs. So we just had a big night in the tight end room. Carl had one. I mean, so it's just,
And back-to-back weeks now. Yeah. You know, it would be nice to hear the actual question there since Harbaugh told Jonas it was a great question. Yeah, they won. They won. Start complimenting people on the questions. Hey, it's a great question, man. Way to bring that one up, buddy. It's just Jekyll and Hyde post game.
Lamar Jackson, how did you feel last night coming back?
Well, I just felt a little comfortable. And our guys was just ready to score. You know, shout out to the offensive line. They did great. All phases, all skill position, and our running backs. Those guys were just locked in and wanted to put points on the board.
Yeah, I mean, he looked strong coming back. You said it best, Mike. You said about his legs.
Yeah, you know, and I thought Todd Monken did a very good job of just throwing short passes at the beginning of the game, letting him get into that rhythm, getting into sync. And actually, remember the one he threw to Bateman, and it kind of landed and short hopped. It was like a 4-yard pass, and I'm like, okay, the rust has to come off. He has to play a quarter. And then you could just see the momentum starting to build a little bit more and more as the game went on, and that's kind of the way you let a quarterback get back in the sink.
Lamar Jackson came back to a 2-5 team. He talked about being locked in.
Like I said, we locked in. You know, we knowing this do or die. Got to go out there and play football. We can't worry about mistakes, you know, because mistakes happen in the NFL. Things like that are going to occur, but we just got to move on and keep doing what we're doing.
You throw for almost 80%, complete almost 80% of your passes, you're going to have a good day.
Yeah,
it was like 78 point something completion percentage. Yeah. It's incredible.
Unbelievable. Locked in. 410-583-1057. Let's try this one more time, Jeremy. Mm-mm. Let's go to Baltimore. Let's get Rashawn.
Yeah, good one, baby.
Rashawn, right.
Hey, baby. You have a good one, baby girl.
Sorry. Oh, hey, what's up? Good morning, man. Something about that. Hey, my bad earlier, man. I had y'all hold. I had to call. I was on call the Dallas show because I called a couple weeks ago and I asked them.
Hold on. We played second fiddle? Why were we on hold for them?
You put us on hold for them?
Yeah, I ain't know.
Go out to Antonio and Roseville. Man. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning, man.
How are you? Doing well. How are you?
I wanted to give my dad a happy birthday shout out.
Your dad?
Happy birthday, Russ.
That's right, Russ. Yeah. Russ is the man.
Dad of the year.
TGIF and PYT.
There you go. We got half of it. We got you.
Babe.
What's on your mind, buddy?
Will Mark Andrews, 2 touchdowns last night. Stop the trade rumors, and you guys have a wonderful weekend, and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too,
buddy. I don't think it stops the rumors, but with winning last night, I don't think they're trading away players that are helping them win right now.
How about if they're winning?
I don't think so either.
How about if they went and got a pass rusher in some way, shape, or form?
With Mark Andrews?
By using
Mark Andrews?
With their lineup.
I'll pack for Mark Andrews. Yeah.
But you know, like, what team is going, we need a tight end that we're willing to give up a pass rush, it's still in it. Anybody that's trading right now, that's an expiring contract. Anybody's trading is going to get picks. They're going to want picks or young players.
Of course. But your window is closing right now. And if you think that you got this going on and you see it coming, then
go get him.
Yeah.
If you're going to rate the players by position, quarterback obviously is the most coveted. I would think edge rusher is next.
Yeah,
hands down. But more than receiver, more than running.
I agree.
Edge rusher.
Your list is a little off. So it's wide receiver. Then we go quarterbacks. I said it yesterday. Guys that touch the quarterback and guys that touch the ball.
What's up with this guy, then guys that touch themselves.
What, Rashawn? You back?
Hey, man, what happened, man?
We called the Dallas radio station. Yeah. They picked up on us.
Yeah, a Dallas Cowboy fan called us, and he took priority over me.
No, I was just saying, though, like, I called them last week, and I said, who y'all think got the better chance of making the playoffs, right? And they was like, oh, definitely the Cowboys, man. The Ravens not making it. So I would just call back and them, you know, giving them crap, man, you know, and they was eating crow. You know, and they actually hung up on me too this morning.
You're not supposed to drink on the job. Tell the other radio host that. They're thinking Dallas has a better shot at getting the postseason.
He gone again, man. Mm.
You hang up on him again?
Yeah, I don't like his flow this morning.
That Ravens defense through the first few weeks, Rob, they said, damn, the Cowboys are back.
I was with Rashawn last night. We went to the local in White Marsh, and let's just say Rashawn's an entertainer.
He is a piece of work, man.
He is an entertainer.
I like that he laughed off you hanging up on him, because that was just the perfect move.
He knows, man. Come on, dude.
Dude said he left us on hold to talk to the guys in Dallas. Hey, I'm super busy. Let me call you right back, okay? Oh, my God, 105.7 The Fan. I'm so busy. Let me call you right back. What? You called us.
More fan reaction at 7:45, but on the other side, offensive and defensive players of the game on The Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every action at 7:45. Ed Norris, who is the offensive player of the game?
I'm going to go with the King. I'm going Derrick Henry.
How could you not? What a game.
I mean, he did exactly what we had hoped. He goes for over 100 yards. The Ravens win. He averaged 6.3 yards a carry, and he did. You know, Jeremy talked about this yesterday. He'll break one off. Sure enough, he had a 35-yard run to pad his 119 yards. He's the man. I mean, he just passed Walter Payton, right, for career touchdowns. He's fifth on the list. I mean, the man's going to
also went over 12,000 yards last.
12,000 yards. He's going to just, you know, first ballot Hall of Fame, in my opinion.
I don't think you're on the limb.
Yeah,
I don't think you're on the limb on that one at all. Jeremy Kahn, give me a defensive player of the game.
Can I give you the Dolphins offense?
Yeah, you can.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I mean, that would be the easy one. I'll go with Kyle Hamilton, man. The guy's just special. All over the field. I understand the blindside block thing when someone gets blindsided. The dude had turned around and he just got hit and shoved to the ground. It wasn't like a crackback block where he had no chance to do anything. It wasn't like Patrick Ricard turning around in the backfield and getting steamrolled by Bradley Chubb, which we're not used to seeing.
But nowadays in football, you got to hit pause first. Got to hit pause.
Yeah.
Say, I'm about to hit you. I'm about to block you.
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a second? Yeah. I'd like to talk to you about this block I'm about to put on you.
Yeah. That's how it is now. You got to hit the pause button.
But I look, we could do this every week. You could ask for the defensive player of the week or the game, whatever. And I feel comfortable saying Kyle Hamilton every week. Me too. I don't know when he has a bad game.
You know, he didn't fill up the stat sheet last time. He was
his presence
hitting last night.
Why don't we have a special teams player of the game?
Sure.
Mike Preston, you love the special teams. Who's the special teams player of the game?
I don't know his name. I just know it's 39, the kid Jackson.
Yes. I knew he would ask
about
it.
He is amazing. I watched this guy play. He had like two special teams tackles, but he's always around the ball. And he's always crashing up in the middle.
Keandre.
There's a little screw loose.
See white
there.
Or black, Rob?
I'm going to think Keandre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green.
Yeah.
The Martian.
He's a black.
I didn't know if it was like Keandre. It's all together.
Either one. Was...
Even when they were playing terribly, he was like the only guy on the team that could tackle.
Oh, Keandre?
Yeah, he could play, man.
He can tackle. Yeah.
I love that you went to Mike with something that we didn't even talk about, and here he is on the spot telling you the best special teamer last
Who night. Watches special teams and offensive lines more than anybody on this show?
I ain't me.
Mike Preston. Mike Preston can tell you what the offensive line did, what the special team, those are his two favorites.
Rob, I like to enjoy watching football, so I'm going to watch all the other guys. Mike can do that.
Nah, man, I love watching them big butts knock down people.
Shit, yeah, but fun. What about the football game?
Whoever wins that battle wins the game. Always. Always. What?
All right. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Hey, his anaconda don't want none. Unless you got
I like
buns,
big butts. Yeah. I like big butts. Let's go to Baltimore and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing well.
Good. So, again, I'm normally that crazy fan that's just like everything's terrible. So not a lot that went wrong last night, but I will point out two things that I was like, ah. So, first of all, the Dolphins get a delay a game and Harbaugh bails them out with a timeout. So, again, his time management is terrible. Usually he saves timeouts like he saves draft picks. And then what concerned me was fourth quarter, 9 minutes left, we're up 28-6. We got conservative. We got a three and out, ran three basic, you know, plays, whatever. But if we're going to make a long run, we can't take our foot off the gas. We need to put up 35 or 42, whatever.
But sometimes you got to put your foot on the gas, though. In a game like last night, you got to put your foot on the gas.
Well, I'm just
you got to de-throttle a little bit. Mike, before we get into commenting on you, I just want to say this. Your hello has a little bit of David from Salisbury in it. Just let you know that.
You think so?
Hello. Yeah, hello, David Salisbury in it.
Well, to his point, though, like it is something when you watch the Ravens at times when they build that lead for a team that's supposed to be this good. You don't feel comfortable with a double-digit lead.
You know why? Because Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo happened.
Because Buffalo. Yeah.
Buffalo happened.
The Raiders happened.
Yeah, that happened before.
You could pick, how many games was it? 17 that they'd blown double-digit leads under Harbaugh, or 18?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, just a few.
I mean, that's not paranoia if it's happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? It really did happen. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike, did you learn anything from this Ravens team last night?
Yeah, I'm still concerned about their defense, the secondary. Still concerned about the pass rush. And they played the Dolphins. You know, offensively, I'm fine. I mean, they got Lamar Jackson back. They ran the ball. They did exactly what they needed to do and wanted to do to win the game. But, man, I still see these chunk plays going down the field. I still see broken coverages. They still can't get after the quarterback consistently.
No, they can't.
And will that change with the upcoming?
Two sacks last night.
Yeah. That's got to change, man. And, hey, Eric DaCosta, go make the move, man.
Hey, four players contributed on two sacks.
Yep.
But Mike Green is getting better. I'm telling you, man, he's getting a little bit better, but he still needs to learn an assortment of moves. That speed rush, it's only good for, like, at Marshall. It's not good in the NFL. You got to change up, man. Got to have a second move ready.
The sack he had last week, he had a move, and I just haven't seen it. He actually came – it was something that he used to do in college. I mean, I saw some videos of it, and he didn't just speed rush. I wish he would start doing exactly that, though.
Right.
Like you said, just mix it up a little bit.
Lee and Owings Mills. What's up, Lee? Lee. Hey, Lee.
You got, Baltimore.
Lee.
Who is this?
Okay, all right, sorry, Mike. Mike in Baltimore, what's up, man?
Yeah. Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, man.
Put Lee on the phone.
Huh?
Put Lee on the phone. We were trying to talk to him.
Yeah, I was trying to. Hey, Mike, Mike, I was actually trying to avoid you, so I went to Lee.
Hey,
so can I put can I put you on hold and go to Lee?
You know the bad part is Lee was talking the entire time. Like, come on, I'm here, man. I'm
you
here.
Know what?
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
I've been out of commission. I lost my phone, so I haven't been able to check in all week or whatever. But, man, you know, it was a nice, efficient win last night. But I want to know, when is the actual trade deadline?
Because Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
Okay. This is what we got to do. It's urgent. The Costa trade. Cooper Rush and Rasan for a bag of balls with football keys. That's the biggest trade we got to make, man. I'm so sick of hearing about Dallas. This is Dallas, that, and all of that. So, a nice, efficient win last night, though. Great. I'm glad for everything.
Thanks, Lee.
Cooper Rush and Rashad. Let's go to Lee now in Orange Mills. There Lee!
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, doing well.
Good, man.
Good. Hey, just real quick, I want to talk about Todd Monken's offensive play call. I mean, the last few games I've seen other teams catch our defense with some plays that look kind of like surprise plays. I mean, maybe part of it is our defense isn't maybe 100% where it could be, but I think a lot of it also is they're doing some fairly creative offensive play calling. I look at what Monken does fairly consistently. First down, you know, Derrick Henry up the middle. It's all clogged, so he doesn't get anything. Second down, we do something conventional. Third down, he's off the field. It seems like our offense is too predictable. I just want to see some creative plays. I want to know what you guys think about that. Thanks.
I mean, in the moment, like I've questioned some of the play calling in the moment, and sometimes it has been really creative stuff where I wanted them to lay it up. I think the ultimate thing, whenever it comes to play calling, it's the smartest, dumbest things I've ever said. You're only right when you're right.
Yeah.
People don't bitch when you're right. It doesn't matter if it was a bad play call or not, if it works out. But again, I don't think they have to ultimately get too cute.
I think
they have the pieces here where you can just go in and whoop teams' asses on offense.
I think they're doing themselves a great disservice by getting too cute. Now, Joe, what are the numbers on for the Ravens offense running on first down?
We'll have to see if this is updated from last night's game. I'm not sure if or not, but they run the ball on first down third most in the league at 40%. The Eagles and the Jets are in front of them.
I mean, I know you don't have this number in front of you, but my question would be how effective are they in running the football? Because I could run the football on first down more than anybody. If I'm that effective, you know what I'm going to keep doing on first down? Running the football.
Running the ball.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Why go away from what you're effective at?
Yep.
If I'm running the football, I'm getting at least 4 yards to carry on first down. That means I'm staying on schedule. That's better than throwing an incompletion on first down, and now you're second and 10. If they're effective with it, I don't care about the numbers. I don't care about the rankings. Be effective. 410-583. 105.7 Fan Reaction at 7:45. But on the other side, the professor is in, Mike Preston, on the Fan. I don't know who's happy after a Ravens win. John Harbaugh, Mike Preston. Mike Preston report card. You can find it at Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Or you can just find out about it right now. Mike Preston, what'd you give Lamar Jackson?
A.
A.
A what?
A.
Just A.
Oh, just A.
No plus.
I don't give no A plus is not happening here. 18 of 23 for 204 yards. Four touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 143.2. Did a nice job with him just throwing short and then getting him into that groove. I think that fit right into him and doing well.
They took that away. They took the perimeter away, and he took what they gave him.
Yep.
Running backs.
Running backs. Derrick Henry, 119 yards rushing on 19 carries. I like what they did with Keaton Mitchell. And people say, he didn't have a lot of yards. It didn't make a difference. They gave him his touches, and you have to honor his speed. And if you give him four, just go around the corner. Go around the corner. You've got to spread your defense out. They did that extremely well. Justice Hill is very good on third down passing situations. I mean, he didn't have a lot of catches, but when he's in the game, you got to be aware of him. So they got a B.
Offensive line, your guys.
Offensive line, I gave him a B.
Are you tougher on them because you were a lineman?
Of course. And I watch him all the time. I thought Lindenbaum did a nice job, especially on some of those screens where he was downfield. I look at those things. I think Voorhees and Falele are still too high. They play high. Rosengarten's struggling at tackle. Maybe because there's more film on him compared to a year ago. I don't know. Ronnie Stanley, they took him out of the game early just to kind of rest him. But
glad to see him back.
Did a decent job. Yeah. And watch the ankles, though. I mean, set of problems with those. But they got to be receivers. Mark Andrews, Charlie Kolder each had touchdown passes. Andrews had two. Even Likely got involved in the offense, had three passes for 60 yards. And Zay Flowers is still the guy.
He is.
You can say whatever He's you want dude. About him. They put him in that slot. They can put him outside.
He can win everywhere.
Up. Yeah, he can match up on the outside and caught that pass down the right sideline.
Is he the best ever Ravens receiving draft pick?
It's not close.
I don't know. I thought Jermaine Lewis was very good when he was here.
He was a good player, but like he's not putting up the type of numbers that Zay's putting up, right?
Yeah, because he had Michael Jackson and Derek Alexander on the outside. Those guys ran up big numbers,
but
they were huge.
Look, numbers. I love Jermaine Lewis. I thought more impressive as a returner than an actual receiver, but he added plenty here. I don't think any of the receivers that the Ravens have drafted are comparable to this guy.
Yeah, I think Zay's
a
guy.
And actually, you look what Ted Marchibroda did with Jermaine. It's pretty much exactly what Monken does with this guy. Puts him in motion. You can't get a good chuck on him at the line of scrimmage. They do a nice job. And
his footwork is excellent, man.
It's pass excellent.
Like, I mean, there's something to be said about guys that can stop on a dime and make a cut. But it's also like it's the deception of, hey, I'm breaking this way and you think I'm going that way. He has the ability to, okay, we're both in the picture. Now I'm the only one in the picture because you're on the other side of the field.
He ran a double route 2 weeks ago where he was running top speed. He cut and then made another cut and never changed speed. I mean, he just kept it dialed up. So you got to defend the cut against the speed, and not a lot of receivers can do that.
Right, and I was going to say very few can do that even at a high rate of speed like that. But watching him play, it's kind of fun. He's a special guy.
Defensive line.
Defensive line, I gave him a B-. I thought they played, they were sluggish in the first half. But then, I don't know who delivered that boomer locker at halftime, but somebody got under him because they started to play better, and they took away their running game. John Jenkins, I thought, played well. Travis Jones had five tackles.
Travis Jones was good last night.
Yeah.
At that position, that's a lot of tackles.
Yeah. And the thing is, they started getting pressure on Tua up the middle. Yeah. And all you got to do is get him one step to the right, one step to the left.
Because he doesn't want to go.
I don't blame him. But they got a B-.
Linebackers.
Linebackers. You know, they struggled in the first half, too. They came out, they're a little sluggish. Roquan got pushed around a little bit. But by the time that second half started going, they dominated the game. Roquan had a whole bunch of tackles. The guy that impresses me the most is the rookie, Teddy Buchanan.
Yeah.
In training camp, he would get lost in pass pro. I mean, he pass coverage. Now he's playing playing extremely well. What do you have, 8 tackles last night? So he's doing a nice job. Van Noy seemed to settle down a little bit on the outside because earlier in the game, the Dolphins attacked him on the perimeter. They were getting outside and they were losing containment, but they got better. And then you moved Hamilton up. Yeah. And
you know, Buchanan is the defensive rookie of the month.
I heard.
Yeah.
But I'm just watching this guy play. He's gotten better every week.
Do you think, is he better out there? I mean, it's a silly question, but better out there with Roquan because it takes away some of the things that you might have to do and lets you just go out and play a little bit, or no?
Yeah, because then he doesn't have to worry about making the calls. He doesn't have the little green dot on his head.
He's queen. Same thing Queen benefited from.
Yeah.
Playing next to that guy.
And that happens. And that's supposed to happen, especially when you're a rookie. And Kyle Hamilton, I'm still leery about him playing that position, outside linebacker. I mean, you saw him go down last night. I'm like, come on, man. They can't afford to lose this guy. But you got to play over tight end, offensive lineman. That's tough. And I don't know why Tua did not read Kyle Hamilton up at the line of scrimmage, and he never changed the play.
No.
You know, he didn't kill, whatever the call is that everybody has. Rotate your blocking to that side. Same crap. And I'm like, dude, you're just bad. You're just a bad player.
Special teams.
No, let me go to secondary first.
I
thought the secondary. Kyle Hamilton's part, but he played more of an outside linebacker. Okay. But I thought Marlon Humphrey is playing better. You know, where teams are no longer isolating on him and running that slot receiver to the outside and matching up one-on-one. And maybe it's the hamstrings with him because he's gotten rested and he's playing better. The guy Gilman, safety, what he does for this defense is pretty special because he allows Kyle Hamilton to go up and play, and then they still stay the same with the same guys on the back end. So I gave them a C+. I still am concerned about the big plays that they give up, where guys are just wide open and there's nobody in the TV screen. That scares me, but I gave them a C+. Special teams, Ali and Mitchell both. And I tell you what, Keaton Mitchell, when he returns a kickoff, boy, when he gets hit, like get ready to go out of bounds, he puts his shoulder down. He smacks the pee out of people. I like that kind of stuff. That excites me, and that excites your team. That's the kind of stuff you want. Drew Stout, average.
You and Ed are both into that.
Man, and R. Kelly.
All the pee coming out of pee.
Yeah, man.
That's when you play the game, man.
Okay,
you know you got to.
I didn't know where he was going with that.
Or you can knock the snot out of people. But
I like that better.
By the way, there's nothing better than when I just take a little like joke shot at Ed, and then I kind of glance over, and he's just giving me this. He's got a smile on his face, but his smile's like, really? Yeah. that's what you're doing right now?
We got to get out of here. What do you give coaching?
Coaching, I gave him a B. They went in, they did what they had to do. I thought Monken did a nice job with Lamar, and I think their defense is okay, but I'm still concerned there. So they got to be.
The good, the bad, the ugly at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, your turn. Fan reaction, 410-583-1057. Want to hear from you. Monday Morning Quarterback on the Fan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to hear from you, 410-583-1057. Let's go to Hampton and get Justin. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not much, man.
I just called to ask you how you feel about that final drive and the running back usage. I just don't see why Derrick Henry's on the field with 3 minutes left, up 22 points, huffing and puffing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be probably be the time you'd want to spell him. Why wouldn't you want to give Keaton Mitchell a couple other carries there at the end of the game, or Justice Hill, or whoever it may be? And it was weird. We finally got to see the pony backfield last night, but it wasn't Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell. It was Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell.
You just talked about how this team has the ability to give games away in the fourth quarter. I mean,
well, he's talking about 3 minutes left,
I
and you're up
there. These guys aren't porcelain, man. Let them play.
Yeah, and particularly Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
I mean, he gets better as the game goes on. He needs a lot of work. I'm not joking.
But it's 3 minutes. What if he rolls his ankle there?
What if he rolls on the first play of the game? I mean,
okay, but it's in a game that still matters. That game's over with 3 minutes left.
I had no problem with it. I didn't.
I didn't notice it in real time. I really don't care, but I understand where the caller's coming from.
Zach in Baltimore. Yeah. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Not much, man. What's up with you?
Hey, man, I just want to just say, I don't think I'm saying anything no one knows, but just Lamar Jackson, man, the guy's just impressive. I mean, the play on the field obviously speaks for itself. Like, the throws he was making last night, the vision, the velocity, the accuracy, but off the field, too. I mean, the leadership. Like, 2 weeks ago, I don't think anybody would have blamed Lamar for just packing it up. I mean, the team's 1-5. The defense is responsible for losing 4 of the 5 games. He's hurt. And here we are, 2 weeks later. I mean, the team's starting to pick themselves up a bit.
What do you mean? What do you mean packing it in?
I just don't think anybody would have blamed the guy if he just would have.
Maybe I'm nobody because I definitely would have blamed him.
I would have blamed him. You can't do that.
6 games into the season, you pack it in.
Yeah, you're making $50 million a year.
Yes, no, when your money's. That's when I start quoting your salary. Well, you're 1-5. You're 6 games into the season. You come on, man. You got 11 more games. You're packing it in? No. No.
Yeah. And with this schedule.
Exactly. Okay, what schedule he has?
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what schedule. If he's healthy, he's got to play football. No, I'm not trying to hear that. Let's go to Trey and Joppa. What's up, Trey?
What's up, fellas?
Not much, man.
First thing, just want to shout out Zach Orr, man. You know, it's funny. When the defense plays bad, it's the coordinator fault. When they play good, I guess it ain't the coordinator fault.
Yeah, well, we did ups and downs this morning, and I said my criticism of Zach Orr, because the last 2 weeks, it looks like the defense, at least they're not confused. It looks like they have a plan.
Well, guess what, Rob? Even to say that, I watch every game just like y'all do. And, you know, I love when people say, can't nobody tell me no different. Well, can't nobody tell me no different on this. We ain't been blowing coverages. We don't give up big plays. It ain't been bombs away. Guys ain't been looking confused. We've been playing bad. Just say that.
I disagree. They did look confused the first 3 or 4 weeks. I disagree with that, Trey. They look absolutely confused out there in the secondary.
Moving on, Todd Monken. I'm judging Todd Monken from here on out on situational play calling. You know, 3rd and short, 4th and short, end of the half situations. That's what I got to judge him on. The creativity to me is still not there. He's a little bit, in my opinion, a little bit too vanilla, too predictable at times. Even when putting the game away, we got lined up in the I formation with one receiver on the field just to run the ball. I ain't saying don't run it, but we're running Derrick Henry on dives. He ain't got no short area quickness. He can't make a jump cut to even get back to the line sometimes. Just got to be better with that. But I'm glad we won. I'm happy with that. On the next week.
Let's go to East Baltimore and get Larry. What's up, Larry?
Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Every time that game, when the Miami got the first ball, when they kicked the field goal, I turned it off and went to sleep. I knew it was over. Miami Tyler coming back. Miami trash. I was thinking about Minnesota after they kicked the field goal. Who going to be their quarterback? What's that guy named? McCarthy?
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Minnesota's done. I look at their schedule. I see the only one that's going to have a problem with Green Bay and New England.
I don't even think New England's going to be a problem.
No, I think they're going to be tough.
I think they are.
Because Rabel was a good coach. He's sound. They're going to play hard, but
I think out of the two, if they can pull away from somebody, it's going to be Green Bay.
I don't think so.
If they're going to pull away from anybody, I think it's that team. I think they can win both. Don't get me wrong. But I agree with Mike on the New England thing. New England's going to be tough.
I think you guys are buying in because they've stacked a couple of W's.
I can definitely tell you that one. No. I ain't buying in.
No, because if that's the case, I would have bought in with the Bears, who stacked four in a row. I ain't buying into that.
Well, I mean, that's not when they come to town playing the Ravens coming off the bye week and you're expecting Lamar to
be. Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's not about the wins. I just think they played tough.
But hold on.
I think Drake May's a good quarterback.
Everybody on this show said if Lamar didn't play, that the Ravens would lose that game against the Bears.
You know, and on a pregame show, I said, no, I still think they win this game.
And I didn't say that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked the Ravens.
He wrote it in the paper.
Without him?
Yeah. Yeah, on a pregame show, when I knew he wasn't playing, I said, you know what? I think they still win this game.
We didn't know Lamar was out until after our show on it came out late Saturday.
That's why I said on the pregame show.
Saturday morning.
But we still wrote it. I wrote it.
That's and on the Sunday pregame show,
I still picked them because the line didn't move the way I thought it was going to move. But I'm saying, like, during the week, it may have been tongue-in-cheek. Somebody said, well, what happens if Huntley's quarterback in this game? Oh, they ain't winning. Everybody, they ain't winning. It's over and over last week.
And on the pregame show.
I mean, you go back to the pregame show. I'm just telling you what you said on the show.
But the pregame show is an hour before kickoff, though. I mean, you give me what I said Friday, hour before kickoff.
I wasn't listening to you on the pregame show.
But you're trying to make a point on the airwaves. But you're trying to make a point, and my point is an hour before kickoff.
You changed your mind. Ravens win. So you had both of them set up, so you would win either one.
No, I did not. Come on. You every time somebody disagrees with you, you get pissed off and bent out of shape.
Come on, Rob. This is going to be
Stephen Perry Hall. What's up, Steve?
Nonsense. Pick both. Sides.
Hey guys, how are you? Two questions and I'll bounce. One, any concerns about Derrick Henry inside the 2-yard line? And will the Ravens be players at the trade deadline? Thanks.
Inside the 2-yard line. No, Steve.
You hung up on him?
No, I did not. I don't know what he means by
that. You're going to act like you're asking this guy a question and hang up on him right after we just had an argument?
What do you mean inside the 2-yard line? What is he?
Does he have questions? Does he think they're too vanilla there?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
If I'm inside the 2-yard line, I'm going to make this clear. I'm okay giving it to that cat four times.
Whatever you want.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, was it 4th and 2? I thought they were going to give it to him, to be honest with you.
It's not a question of Derrick Henry. It's a question of their offensive line.
That's fair.
And getting the push.
That's why I think they should be spreading them out more than just bunching in the big formation.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. But they like to go into that big, heavy jumbo package.
You mean spreading the receivers out more?
Yes, to give
a different look.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and put Lamar on the wing, on the perimeter, and choose run, pass, whatever. That's what I would do with
them. See, but I'm okay with them giving the ball to Derrick Henry 4 times within the 2-yard line. But an hour before the game, I may say that I'm not okay. I can't even look at it.
I won't change my mind. Oh, my God. I will not change my mind.
Oh, God. Throwing stuff at me now.
You give out gay balls at 8:15, but on the other side, Ed Norris, you're good. Mike Preston, you're bad. Jeremy Cohn.
Ugly, man. I'm ugly.
Right here on the Fan.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.